sake of a higher one. Courage, according to the Greek ideal that Aristotle inherited from Homer and conveyed by Solon, Pericles, and Thucydides, is never a selfish action. Courage is when you sacrifice your own well-being for the sake of the survival of a layer higher than yours. Selfish courage is not courage. A foolish gambler is not committing an act of courage, especially if he is risking other people's funds or has a family to feed. To show the inanity of social science, they have to muster up the sensationalism of mirror neurons to explain the link between the individual and the collective. Relying on neuro-something is a form of scientism called brain porn, discussed in Anti-Fragile. Rationality, again. The last chapter reframed rationality in terms of actual decisions, not what are called beliefs, as these may be adapted to stimulate us in the most convincing way to avoid things that threaten systemic survival. If superstition is what it takes, not only is there absolutely no violation of the axioms of rationality there, but it would be technically irrational to stand in its way. If superstition is what's needed to satisfy ergodicity, let it be. Let us return to Warren Buffett. He did not make his billions by cost-benefit analysis. Rather, he did so simply by establishing a high filter, then picking opportunities that pass such a threshold. The difference between successful people and really successful people is that really successful people say no to almost everything, he said. Likewise, our wiring might be adapted to say no to tail risk, but there are a zillion ways to make money without taking tail risk. There are a zillion ways to solve problems, say, feed the world, without complicated technologies that entail fragility and an unknown possibility of tail blow-up. Whenever I hear someone saying, we need to take tail risks, I know it is not coming from a surviving practitioner, but from a finance academic or a banker. The latter, we saw, almost always blows up, usually with other people's money. Indeed, it doesn't cost as much to refuse some new shoddy technologies. It doesn't cost me much to go with my refined paranoia, even if wrong. For all it takes is for my paranoia to be right once, and it saves my life. Love some risks. Anti-Fragile shows how people confuse risk of ruin with variations and fluctuations, a simplification that violates a deeper, more rigorous logic of things. I make the case for risk-loving, for systematic convex tinkering, and for taking a lot of risks that don't have tail risks but offer tail profits. Volatile things are not necessarily risky, and the reverse is also true. Jumping from a bench would be good for you and your bones, while falling from the 22nd floor will never be so. Small injuries will be beneficial, never larger ones, those that have irreversible effects. Fear-mongering about some classes of events is fear-mongering. About others, it is not. Risk and ruin are different tings. Naive empiricism. All risks are not equal. We often hear that Ebola is causing fewer deaths than people drowning in their bathtubs, or something of the sort, based on evidence. This is another class of problems that your grandmother can get, but the semi-educated cannot. Never compare a multiplicative, systemic, and fat-tailed risk to a non-multiplicative, idiosyncratic, and thin-tailed one. Recall that I worry about the correlation between the death of one person and that of another. So we need to be concerned with systemic effects, things that can affect more than one person should they happen. A refresher here. There are two categories in which random events fall, mediocristan and extremistan. Mediocristan is thin-tailed and affects the individual without correlation to the collective. Extremistan, by definition, affects many people. Hence, extremistan has a systemic effect that mediocristan doesn't. Multiplicative risks, such as epidemics, are always from extremistan. They may not be lethal, say the flu, but they remain from extremistan. More technically, mediocristan risks are subjected to the Chernoff bound. The Chernoff bound can be explained as follows. The probability that the number of people who drown in their bathtubs in the United States doubles next year, assuming no changes in population or bathtubs, is one per several trillions lifetimes of the universe. This cannot be said about the doubling of the number of people killed by terrorism over the same period. Journalists and social scientists are pathologically prone to such nonsense, particularly those who think that a regression and a graph are sophisticated ways to approach a problem. Simply, they have been trained with tools for mediocristan. So we often see the headline that many more American citizens slept with Kim Kardashian than died of Ebola, or that more people were killed by their own furniture than by terrorism. Your grandmother's logic would debunk these claims. Just consider that it is impossible for a billion people to sleep with Kim Kardashian, even her, but that there is a non-zero probability that a multiplicative process, a pandemic, causes such a number of Ebola deaths. Or even if such events were not multiplicative, say, terrorism, there is a probability of actions such as polluting the water supply that can cause extreme deviations. The other argument is one of feedback. If terrorism casualties are low, it is because of vigilance. We tend to search passengers before boarding planes. And the argument that such vigilance is superfluous indicates a severe flaw in reasoning. Your bathtub is not trying to kill you. I was wondering why the point appears to be unnatural to many scientists, which includes policymakers, but natural to some other people, such as the probabilist Paul Embrechts. Simply, Embrechts looks at things from the tail. Embrechts studies a branch of probability called extreme value theory, and is part of a group we call extremists, a narrow group of researchers who specialize, as I do, in extreme events. Well, Embrechts and his peers look at the difference between processes for extremes, never the ordinary. Do not confuse this with extremistan. They study what happens for extremes, which includes both extremistan and mediocristan. It just happens that mediocristan is milder than extremistan. They classify what can happen in the tails according to the generalized extreme value distribution. Things are a lot clearer in the tails. And things are a lot clearer in probability than they are in words. Summary. We close this chapter with a few summarizing lines. One may be risk-loving, yet completely averse to ruin. The central asymmetry of life is, in a strategy that entails ruin, benefits never offset risks of ruin. Further, ruin and other changes in condition are different animals. Every single risk you take adds up to reduce your life expectancy. Finally, rationality is avoidance of systemic ruin. Epilogue. What Lindy Told Me. Now, reader, comes the end of the journey, and a fifth installment of the Inserto. So while trying to summarize the book with the obligatory distillation, I saw the reflection of my face in a restaurant's mirror, dominated by a whitish beard and a defiant East Mediterranean, Greco-Phoenician pride in aging. It was more than 2.5 decades ago that I put pen to paper for the Inserto, before my beard turned gray. Lindy was telling me that, for a certain class of things, I had less to prove, less to explain, and less to theorize. I had overheard someone in the restaurant saying emphatically, "It is what it is," and the phrase kept repeating itself in my head. No summary this time. No summary anymore. Per Lindy. When the beard or hair is black, heed the reasoning, but ignore the conclusion. When the beard is gray, consider both reasoning and conclusion. When the beard is white, skip the reasoning, but mind the conclusion. So let me finish this book with a long maxim, via negativa style. No muscles without strength, friendship without trust, opinion without consequence, change without aesthetics, age without values, life without effort, water without thirst, food without nourishment, love without sacrifice, power without fairness, facts without rigor, statistics without logic, mathematics without proof, teaching without experience, politeness without warmth, values without embodiment, degrees without erudition, militarism without fortitude, progress without civilization, friendship without investment, virtue without risk, probability without ergodicity, wealth without exposure, complication without depth, fluency without content, decision without asymmetry, science without skepticism, religion without tolerance, and most of all, nothing without skin in the game. And thank you for reading my book. Glossary. Rent-seeking. Trying to use protective regulations or rights to derive income without adding anything to economic activity, without increasing the wealth of others. As Fat Tony would define it, it is like being forced to pay protection money to the mafia without getting the economic benefits of protection. Revelation of preferences. The theory, originating with Paul Samuelson, initially in the context of choice of public goods, that agents do not have full access to the reasoning behind their actions. Actions are observables, while thought is not, which prevents the latter from being used for rigorous scientific investigation. In economics, experiments require an actual expenditure by the agent. Fat Tony's summary is, talk is always cheap. Regulatory capture. Situations where regulations end up being gamed by an agent, often in divergence from the original intent of the regulation. Some bureaucrats and business persons may owe part of their income to protective regulations and franchises and lobby for them. Note that regulations are easier to put in than to correct and remove. Scientism. The belief that science looks like science, with too much emphasis on the cosmetic aspects rather than its skeptical machinery. It prevails in domains with administrators judging contributions according to metrics. It also prevails in domains left to people who talk about science without doing, such as journalists and school teachers. Naive rationalism. Belief that we have access to what makes the world work and that what we don't understand doesn't exist. Intellectual yet idiot. An idiot. Pseudo-rationalism. 1. Focusing on the rationality of a belief rather than its consequences. 2. The use of bad probabilistic models to naively decry people's irrationality when they engage in a certain class of actions. Agency problem. Misalignment of interest between the agent and the principal, say between the car salesman and you, the potential owner, or between the doctor and the patient. Bob Rubin trade. Payoff in a skewed domain where the benefits are visible and rewarded with some compensation, and the detriment is rare and unpunished owing to absence of skin in the game. Can be generalized to politics, anything where the penalty is weak and the victims are abstract and distributed, say, taxpayers or shareholders. Interventionista. Someone who causes fragility because he thinks he understands what's going on. He is not exposed to the filter and discipline of skin in the game. Also, usually lacks sense of humor. Green lumber fallacy. Mistaking the source of important or even necessary knowledge, the greenness of lumber, for another, less visible from the outside, less tractable one. How theoreticians impute wrong weights to what one should know in a certain business, or, more generally, how many things we call relevant knowledge aren't so much so. Lecturing birds how to fly effect. Inverting the arrow of knowledge to read academia leads to practice, or education leads to wealth, to make it look as though technology owes more to institutional science than it actually does. See Antifragile. Lindy effect. When a technology, idea, corporation, or anything non-perishable has an increase in life expectancy with every additional day of survival, unlike perishable items, such as humans, cats, dogs, economic theories, and tomatoes. So a book that has been 100 years in print is likely to stay in print another 100 years, provided its sales remain healthy. Ergodicity. In our context here, ergodicity holds when a collection of players have the same statistical properties, particularly expectation, as a single player over time. Ensemble probabilities are similar to time probabilities. Absence of ergodicity makes the risk properties not directly transferable from observed probability to the payoff of a strategy subjected to ruin, or any absorbing barrier or uncle point. In other words, not probabilistically sustainable. Mediocristan. a process dominated by the mediocre, with few extreme successes or failures, say income for a dentist. No single observation can meaningfully affect the aggregate, also called thin-tailed, or member of the Gaussian family of distributions. Extremistan, a process where the total can be conceivably impacted by a single observation, say income for a writer, also called fat-tailed, includes the fractal or power law family of distributions. Minority rule, an asymmetry by which the behavior of the total is dictated by the preferences of a minority. Smokers can be in smoke-free areas, but non-smokers cannot be in smoking ones, so non-smokers will prevail, not because they are initially a majority, but because they are asymmetric. It is held by the author that languages, ethics, and some religions spread by minority rule. Via negativa. In theology and philosophy, the focus on what something is not, an indirect definition, deemed less prone to fallacies than via positiva. In action, it is a recipe for what to avoid, what not to do. Subtraction, not addition, works better in domains with multiplicative and unpredictable side effects. In medicine, stopping someone from smoking has fewer adverse effects than giving pills and treatments. Scalability. The qualities of entities change, often abruptly, when they get smaller or larger. Cities are different from large states. Continents are very different from islands. Collective behavior switches when the size of the groups increases, an argument for localism and against unfettered globalism. Intellectual monoculture. Journalists, academics, and other slaves without skin in the game in a given subject converge to a bien-pensant mode that can be manipulated and often resists empirical backing. The reason is that penalty from divergence is often penalized with labels such as Putinist, baby killer, or racist. Children are always used by charlatans as a sensationalist argument. This is similar to the way ecological diversity decreases when an island gets larger. See the black swan. Virtue merchandising. The debasing of virtue by using it as a marketing strategy. Classically, virtue needs to be kept private, which clashes with modern save-the-environment-style messages. Virtue merchandisers are often hypocrites. Further, virtue devoid of courage, sacrifice, and skin in the game is never virtue. Virtue merchandising is similar to simony, which in the Middle Ages allowed someone of means to buy ecclesiastical positions or indulgences to expunge his or her sins by payment. Golden rule, symmetry. Treat others the way you would like them to treat you. Silver rule, negative golden rule. Do not do to others what you would not like them to do to you. Note the difference from the golden rule, as the silver one prevents busybodies from attempting to run your life. Principle of charity. Exercise symmetry in intellectual debates. Represent the argument of the opponent as accurately as you would like yours to be represented, the opposite of straw man. By Nassim Nicholas Taleb. Incerto, an investigation of opacity, luck, uncertainty, probability, human error, risk, and decision-making when we don't understand the world, expressed in the form of a personal essay with autobiographical sections, stories, parables, and philosophical, historical, and scientific discussions in non-overlapping volumes that can be accessed in any order. Fooled by Randomness, 2001-2004, on how we tend to mistake skills for luck, how randomness does not look random, why there is no point talking about performance when it is easier to buy and sell than fry an egg, and the profound difference between dentists and speculators. The Black Swan, 2007-2010, on how high-impact but rare events dominate history, how we retrospectively give ourselves the illusion of understanding them thanks to narratives, how they are impossible to estimate scientifically, how this makes some areas, but not others, totally unpredictable and unforecastable, how confirmatory methods of knowledge don't work, and how, thanks to black swan blind faux experts, we are prone to building systems increasingly fragile to extreme events. The Bed of Procrustes, Philosophical Aphorisms, 2010-2016. Antifragile, 2012, on how some things like disorder, hence volatility, time, chaos, variability, and stressors, while others don't. How we can classify things along the lines fragile, robust, anti-fragile. How we can identify anti-fragility based on non-linear response without having to know much about the history of the process, which solves most of the black swan problem, and why you are alive if and only if you love some volatility. Skin in the Game, 2018, this volume. Incerto's Technical Companion, consisting of academic-style papers, miscellaneous notes, and very technical remarks and developments. This is Joe Ackman. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Skin in the Game, Hidden Asymmetries in Everyday Life, by Nassim Nicholas Taleb. This program was directed by Christina Rooney, executive producer Aaron Blank. Text copyright 2018 by Nassim Nicholas Taleb. Production copyright 2018, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.